Sci-Fi. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. And hey, if you want to be a producer like our friend Mike Rodri Media, just go to our patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Sign up to be a friend of Charles Kwan, and we'll read your name on air. Also, if you have a 5-star review, leave it on iTunes, and we'll read that on air as well. It's only if you have a 5-star review. Oh, we're not going to read the 1-star reviews. And a lot of people have given us 1-star reviews, but did 5 stars, hoping that, like, they think we're going to read the bad review just because you gave us 5 stars. Like, come on, I'm not stupid.
I love bad reviews because, of course, I never agree with them. And there's no, like, nobody reads a 3-star review. Nobody goes like, well, it was, you know what? It was pretty good. It just wasn't for average. Me.
Yeah. Wait, before you go on, let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend. You know him from, well, stages across the country while he's doing his stand-up, but also from the podcast, is it Boogie Monster?
The Boogie Monster, baby.
The Boogie Monster podcast. It's our good friend, Kyle Kinane. Kyle, thanks for being here.
Howdy.
What's up, dude?
Drinking.
I got big, tall tequila and key lime LaCroix.
I'm doing tequila and lime LaCroix. But key lime is the way to go, dude.
It was in the Costco big pack. And so you get 3 flavors you want and a wild card. And key lime was a wild card.
Oh, that's the best wild card. I fucking love it. I love it.
I get it for the missus. She doesn't want the key lime. I'm like, all right, well, normally, and now I'm in the Pacific Northwest, I'd be dipping into the scotch and the whiskey because it's, you know.
Yeah, you're going to be on brand.
Yeah, your cold weather liquors.
Yeah.
I'm having a real spring break tumbler right now.
Well, thanks for being here. What's going on? So you're in Oregon.
I'm in Oregon. I did want to comment on how much I think it's funny that someone would take their time out to make a 3-star review.
Yeah, dude.
Like, someone went out of their way to be like, you know what?
Pretty good.
But, you know, probably good for the people that like it. Not really my thing.
I think it's nice. I don't think there's anything nicer than a 3-star review because you're going like, listen, it's fine. I'm not here to hate on shit. I'll tell you what I thought. 3. I thought 3.
Yeah, the motivation to leave a 5-star is like, it was great. People need to know about it. And the anger motivates the 1-star review. But what motivates the 3-star review other than just free time?
Yeah, it's like, well, boredom. You know, I choose places because of reviews, so it's my duty to make a review. Here it is.
Why even have the 2 and 4 stuff? Because does anyone do a 2 or a 4? Like, what does that say about a person?
Like how the 4 is always like, best Chinese food I ever had. I dropped my fork. They did not bring one immediately.
Yeah.
4 stars. Yeah. Otherwise, it would have been 5. It would have been 5 other than my unattainable high standards.
Four star is the calling card of the asshole where you come on, just give it 5. You're just being an asshole and you know it.
I got to spice it up.
I've only been to 1 5-star place in my life and it's not this place.
Yeah, 5 stars reserved for like losing your virginity, heaven, and the first time you try like a good root beer, and then everything else that will never match those things.
Wait, let's talk about root beer real quick. Do you like root beer?
Let's.
Henry Weinhardt's.
I don't like root beer. Like I did when I was a kid, and now I hate it.
Weinhardt's, they make beer. And they also make root beer. And the root beer is the same price as fucking beer, but it's fucking delicious.
I don't dive into the soda pops too much as an adult. It's like if I'm at the movies, I get the largest one they have. I do that.
Like a large. Yeah, coke. I stopped drinking soda when I realized that like water does the trick, you know? Like a soda with a meal sounds repulsive to me now.
Oh, man.
Water's good. Billy Joel wrote some good tunes. And there's nothing wrong with comfortable shoes that look a little goofy. All right? We're in our 40s. It's fine. It is fine.
Now, wait. When you talk about cream soda, though, I'm a cream soda guy.
Really? You're gonna totally abscond from the root beer, but be all about cream soda?
I love it, man. I love it. I don't know what it is.
Root beer's honky cousin.
Do you like root beer floats?
I can't drink any kind of floats ever since I realized that the soda is like curdling the ice cream, like actively while you're drinking it.
Wait, what is this? What are you ruining for me right now?
No, not the root beer with the ice cream.
I don't. Well,
It doesn't curdle it.
Are you sure? Because I looked this up, you know, 15 years ago or whatever.
Every time I put cottage cheese in my root beer float and it gets extra chunky, and I just dislike it. Maybe I should look up another recipe, but that's the one I was taught.
Do you remember Laverne and Shirley, and they would drink Pepsi and milk?
Yeah, that's a Southern thing.
And I did that for a little bit. Like, I heard about that. Curdle. Yeah. Well, so how does the ice cream not? Because it's the same. Because
root beer,
root beer isn't
as acidic as Coke or Pepsi.
I do not remember Pepsi and milk.
I do.
The people in the South do it. Have you ever heard of putting peanuts in your Coke?
I've heard of that.
It's I already know they vote the wrong way,
but now we're just solidifying that it's a bunch of fucking idiots down there. Abortion's an affront to God. I also put legumes in my soda and whatever.
You're going to eat those peanuts because I got some Coke left.
Hold on a second. I did my pork ribs in an antifreeze.
If your spaghetti is too thin, fill it out with some banana.
Because ice cream is colder and has air and sugar mixed into it, the chemical processes that are curdling do not occur.
Okay, well then I'm wrong. But this all spun out of me looking up Laverne and Shirley, Pepsi and milk.
Pepsi and milk, yeah.
Seeing that it curdles and me going like, well, if that curdles, how does a float not curdle? So now I have my answer.
Dude, what's it called? Cream soda is basically trying to emulate the root beer float flavor. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. I haven't had a root beer float since I was probably 10.
Is root beer, is that ginger root?
Right? No.
What's the root though? It's from a spice. If only there was a device we could look this information. But I think the milk and the Pepsi thing, I think that might be ulcer based. I was talking to somebody from Ireland. They put like milk in their scotch or in their whiskey. They put a little bit in there, and I think it might have to do like with just having ulcers in the olden days.
Wow,
maybe. And like I'm just speculating entirely.
The curdling is like the fix a flat for like a, you know,
you
put
that. You drink it and you want to swish it around. You want to hula hoop a little, make sure you seal up whatever.
Once that curdles, it starts to make a new layer in your tummy.
You just Billy Mays that shit around your guts.
Root beer.
I can swim the English Channel now. No leaks.
Root beer is from the root bark, which is sassafras. Sassafras tree.
Sassafras.
So it's just something weird.
Yeah, see, this is root beer is archaic. We got to get rid of it. It's like it's like hard candy or something. It's like
and hard candy.
They did what they had to do back in the day to get their sugar fix, and we've got better delivery systems now. We don't need that shit
anymore. How have you become such an old man? You've gone past what old men love, which is root beer and hard candy, and you don't even like those things. That's the foundation of a senior citizenship.
They just transcended it.
I love a root beer. You need to try a drier root beer is what you need.
Try the Weinhards, man. Like
no, you guys, I'm not gonna do any of this.
You know, it's like not
sweet
good
root beers and there's some crisp root beers.
Yeah. I don't like any of the sodas that come in a 2-liter anymore, you know. I only like Mexican Cokes and bottled root beer.
It was later in life that I found out Slice was a grapefruit soda.
Oh.
Is that true?
Or Squirt. I'm sorry, Squirt. I love a cold can of Squirt.
Fuck, I swallowed wrong. You said grapefruit, and my body just shut down.
Jesus Christ, you're 1,000 years old.
What, old people like grapefruits? I'm young.
They do. Start a half a grapefruit.
Douse it
in sugar like you're trying to put out a grease fire.
Wait, you put sugar on your grapefruit?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, I haven't had a half a grapefruit since my grandparents were alive. But
I put salt on mine. You ever put salt on it?
What are you trying to die now? What are you doing, man?
Dude, like you don't put
sugar. You can put salt on it. I've heard that.
Yeah, you don't really put sugar on something sour to get rid of the sour. You put something salty on it. It's delicious.
But grapefruit isn't sour. It's just bitter.
Right? Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, we really cracked the case, guys.
Do you ever get those, what is it, mango that the street guys have and they cover it in like chili powder?
Or oh, yeah.
I've never gotten one. Is it good?
Oh, it's delicious.
The big bag of fruit with just the chili powder and lime squirted on it, that's good stuff, man. That's a good summertime treat.
I grew up eating mangoes plain, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing to this thing? And I ate one, and I haven't gone back.
Them Trader Joe's dried chili mango slices.
Yeah, we've got some.
Do they have Trader Joe's in Oregon?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, cool.
Where do they have them in Colorado?
I don't think so.
I don't know. You know, Colorado just got In-N-Out.
There's a big debate over here. Wow. Like somebody's going to open In-N-Out. The next door app is up in arms about the traffic it's going to cause.
Do they not have them up there?
I think it's like one or something.
Dude, next door. I fucking hate next door so much.
Oh, I love it.
You have to put your address in there to prove that you live somewhere. And then all it is people going like, who's lighting off fireworks at this hour?
Yeah. Did you guys hear that gunshot? Every post. What was that? A gunshot? No, it wasn't.
My sister lives in a part of Hollywood. She's like, it's always somebody wielding something. They're always wielding. It's always like an axe or a machete. It's always a wielding type of assault. And now I'm in the suburbs and somebody's like, someone in front of me at Krispy Kreme paid for my donuts, and that was nice. And I just want to say thanks. And also, I appreciate anyone who put their Christmas lights up early because we need some good cheer. And
I'm like, oh, man.
What?
Can I sign in happiness to your next door app? I hate the one over here.
It's just happiness.
You know what I like about the one that we have, though, is like a lot of times it'll be like lost dog. And by the time I see it, it's like we found her. And so I'm like, oh, fuck, I hope this dog's OK. Oh, it is. And so like I'm immediately like, cool, there's a dog that's safe.
OK.
This is the burbs up here. We got land. These things are missing for a while. That was like the saddest thing in L.A. was like, I lost my cat. No, you didn't. You fed it to a coyote. That's
yeah. Yeah. It takes every ounce of me to not just want to troll on there. Oh, somebody's walking around here with stonewashed blue jeans. I don't like that.
I thought this was 2020.
I tried in my old neighborhood. I tried to be like, listen, I saw somebody dumping off stolen mail in the garbage can in front of my apartment. So if you're missing mail in a neighborhood, it might be sitting in this trash bin. So I'm like, and immediately like, you know how you know you're like, you think you're like a liberal and on the right side of things, and then somebody just goes so far into it, you're like, oh man, fuck everybody. Like, somebody's like,
yeah,
well, how do you know it was stolen mail? That's a strong word to you. I'm like, I don't think the USPS uses a mid 2000s Camaro and rolls up in a tank top and a flat brim hat to dump envelopes into a trash bin at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
But that's me. I'm guessing. You're right. I'm wrong to assume that it was stolen from homes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always the thing. It's like a competition to be like the best. Like, I hate the word woke, but like that's what it is, right? It's the woke competition. Where
yeah.
It's like,
yeah. The righteous trophy awards.
Yeah.
That never happen. I'm over it, man. I'm Pacific Northwest. I'm in the woods. Full right wing now, dudes. All the way. All the way over.
Oh, man. Get your militia ready.
All the way over, man.
You've been on a show before. I don't know. You probably don't remember your WoW scale, right?
No.
WoW scale.
Are you a wed or are you a willie?
The WoW scale stands for waiter willie. It's a 5-question scale. Okay. If you're toward a 0, you're more of a wade. If you're toward the 5, you're more of a willy. Are you ready to get weighed on the WoW scale, Kyle Kinane?
I mean, that sounds biased when you say you're ready.
That's intentional.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then, yeah, let's go for it.
All right. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, across the board.
Oh shit. I kind of want to know what your idea of an alien is. Like, what's your stereotypical alien that you believe in?
I've expanded, like, we keep looking at it as some sort of humanoid type form, but we don't realize that aliens can be octopuses. Aliens can be anything is existing that we are not aware of how or why it can be, but it
is. We say mushrooms a lot.
Tardigrades.
Mushrooms, like taking mushrooms and you find aliens because of
No, that they're like, that they have come here from, you know, they rode an asteroid here and they're not from Earth.
The spores have a metallic surface. They can survive in space.
The rate of growth up here where you can literally sit and watch one with your naked eye grow to fruition because of just it's a rainforest up here. And just watch, like, just look at the yard and all of a sudden, like wow, that's impressive. So. Yeah, I think the non-traditional sense that not like a flying saucer with little green men type of aliens, but in the idea that there's other life forms that have existed and traveled here, yes.
We recently
Oh yeah, go on.
Have you guys on Boogie Monster? Have you talked about what Willie? What was that documentary we watched?
About what topic?
The Jason Mekaris episode is alien stuff. It was like a month ago. Really? What's wrong with you?
Well, it's so vague.
It was called like Encounter or something. It was the reason I can't remember the name of it is because it's got the worst name.
Dude, I can't do alien documentaries anymore. They're so just wishy-washy. Like, all research is now, having done Boogie Monster for I think like almost 5 years, it's like I can't do it anymore.
I got it. It's called The Phenomenon, and you should watch it, especially for your show.
Phenomenon is like very. It's one of the top 2 legit UFO documentaries out there. It turns people. It's not Stephen Greer.
No. Who's the dude that just came out of the woodwork about, like, I have experience with him. I did it, and it's some like coast to coast ding dong. It's some like tattooed bro who made the documentary. So like,
oh no, no, not the Bob Lazar one. That dude.
Yeah. Like you turn one more page of looking at Bob Lazar, you're like, oh no, this guy's a dingbat.
Well, that if you watch that Bob Lazar documentary, dude, the main star is the director.
Like, that guy's a chooch,
man. He's like, oh man, he's texting me right now. The FBI's raiding his house because of my documentary. I can't believe I'm doing this to him. It's like, fuck you, man. Yeah.
Well, Kanane, I want you to check out it's called The Phenomenon. It's not to be confused with the John Travolta blockbuster from the 90s.
I might watch both tonight. I got nothing going on. So, all right. Okay. The Phenomenon. But all right. It won't sway my answer. It's still yes, yes, yes.
Just very interesting. That's all. Okay. Question number 2. Do you believe in ghosts?
In a sense of... I think that energy can exist after a human form dies.
You
still get a spark out of a dead battery type of thing.
Echo kind of thing.
Whoa. Yeah. Not in a sheet with chains walking through your home type of thing. But in the fact that electrical energy is what powers our synapses, and energy can't be created or destroyed. So it is, if you're eliminated from this earth in a quick motion, maybe not old age or anything, but
like somebody wielding something.
If you were wielded to death, if you got wielded to death, then maybe there's a chance that that energy can somehow be somewhere else.
Are you from Chicago?
I'm from the suburbs.
Okay. And were you religious at all coming up?
What's that?
Were you religious at all, your family growing up?
I was kind of raised like obligatorily Catholic.
Yeah.
Like it was just the, we did it, so you do it now. But nobody was like, here's all the guilt, but you're not going to get the spirit. There's no spirituality in it. It's just, did you figure out what beating off was? Well, now you'll feel like the devil's real every day for the next 15 years. And let's see what that does to your mind.
And beyond.
Yeah. And then you'll fight with that every time you're like, but it feels good. But also the devil and your grandma sees you and your Jesus is sad. And that'll shape you in a way.
Did you have any, I don't know, like where Chicago is, like, On the old architecture kind of stuff. Are there a lot of ghosts in Chicago? Or did you ever have a ghost, any kind of ghost encounter?
There was, I mean, it's an old enough city with enough history around it that had some good creepy stories.
And there's a lot of weird gang murder.
The gang stuff goes with it real well, and then like, oh, the Chicago fire. So there's tragedy, the big one. Like, what's the whichever boat sank in the Chicago River? So they used actually the nightclub, the Excalibur. I don't think it's called it as a kind of a morgue for a lot of the bodies. There's a big fire at one of the theaters. There's a lot of haunted history, and it's the Midwest. It's drinkers. And, just old European alcoholics that love the story of a haunting. Milwaukee's got, oddly enough, the polite people and serial killers. Uh-huh. You know,
they probably have polite serial killers.
Well, how do you think you get to kill that many people? It's not by
being
a dick.
You gotta be polite, yeah.
Yeah, there's probably a serial killer who's also a jerk, and he's only got like two under his belt. He's like, I gotta work on my likability skills.
How am I failing at this? What is wrong with me?
Now, I'm really sorry to do this, fucking but...
Hey, lady, nice tits. Get in my car. I am horrible at this. I'm gonna use the old Ted Bundy thing. Use the cast on my arm. Act sympathetic.
Man, only I was that good looking.
When that Ted Bundy documentary came out, all the talk shows, all they did was talk about how attractive he was. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, what? Fuck up. Well, I don't know. It was
this
weird.
Guy's not wearing other people's flesh on his face. He's gorgeous.
Look at him. He doesn't need to. Why would he do that? His
Ed
skin
Gein,
is
that'll beautiful. Go. Yeah, Ed Gein, cover it up, buddy. You're horrifying. But Ted Bundy, oof.
Who was the clown guy?
Literal. John
Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy was a couple towns over. That was a story that because he was like also a construction worker, like or like a. Contractors. So if you had a lot of people had driveways that were poured by him that I think got dug up when they were looking for little boy bones. But yeah, so there was ghost stories. There's like a lot of superstition. So I think superstition lends itself to also ghosts.
Well, you just jumped ahead to question number five. Are you superstitious?
No. There's a couple things. It's that's a subjective term is superstition because I think that there could be weird energies. Like, long story short, I like to go mountain bike riding. I can get hurt when I do it. If I go out, try to go mountain bike riding and too many things go wrong before I even get to the trail, I'm like, it's bad vibes today.
And you bail?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's definitely a superstition.
But is it superstition or is it just that mentally now I've got a concern and that will make me more hesitant and less safe in my actions? So is superstition?
No, it's a superstition.
Isn't that just like OCD? Isn't that all it is?
I forgot to knock on wood. Comes up a lot.
Yeah, I forgot to knock on wood. So now I'm going to think about how I didn't knock on wood, and that's going to cause me to be distracted.
It's a self-fulfilling sort of. like
yeah.
handicap that you've given yourself.
I used to have some pretty solid OCD as a kid. I had to do everything in even numbers. Like,
really?
I had to go like, I had to walk upstairs two at a time. I had to like do sidewalk squares two at a time or four at a time or none at all. And like, I got real locked into having to do a lot of shit.
What, how did you break out of that?
I think just age. I think you just get, I think I honestly probably, it probably transferred into smoking cigarettes. Because then a cigarette is like, well, every time I get in my car, I get a cigarette. Well, every time I finish food, like it wasn't even that I wanted the cigarette. I just had a lot of times where that's where I have a cigarette.
Yeah.
So I have a cigarette with this. I have a cigarette to do this. So now that, now instead of like occupying my mind with these other ceremonies and what have you, it was the cigarette goes here. The cigarette goes here.
Yeah. That was always my thing. Like when I started working in the movie business, like I'd have to show up early and then hide to get my cigarettes in. Cause I'm like, you can't come talk to me when I haven't even had my cigarette yet.
Yeah.
I'm here early for the cigarette.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. It's like, it's some of it's the chemical addiction. And it is the association that you have with when you have a cigarette.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it took me buying a new car to like stop smoking in my car. You know, I was like, okay, this is a new car. I'm not going to do that. And it was fucking hard.
I loved smoking in a car. Do you still smoke?
No, yeah. I've moved on to other things. I'm still addicted to nicotine, but I've found other ways to get it. I'm chewing on a nicotine pouch right now.
Having a snoo. Go ahead and have yourself a snoo.
It's snoo, but there's no tobacco. So it's just a snoo with only nicotine in it.
Oh.
Just a Band-Aid full of bad breath. How about it?
Oh, man. It's mint.
Oh, yeah. It's always mint.
All right. Man,
question, these cools are mint. Don't worry about it.
Question three. You've got a poster behind you. What is that poster?
It's a movie called Mysterious Monsters, which I haven't seen, but I found the poster looking for Bigfoot memorabilia, and it's a cool one.
Okay. That brings us to question three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Man, that one's a tough one, because that one I think is the most benign and enjoyable one to get down with.
Yeah.
Because there's no religious implications.
It's like having a hobby. It's like being a fan of a comic book or something.
It's like, yeah, I was going to go camping anyway, but here's an added layer of enjoyment to the camping trip. Well, it's like, okay, you might not believe in ghosts, but if you go in a scary abandoned building, then the idea of ghosts, like, otherwise, why are you even going there? Like, you could be one of those people, like, it's not real and everything's stupid, and then you're no fun to be around, and nobody likes you.
Yeah.
Or you could let that little part of your brain go and be excited about stuff that really is, in the larger scheme of things, inconsequential to your well-being. So if fucking Bigfoot's real, I mean, I do think that we're finding new species still every day. Now, granted, they're smaller things, but much like the aliens, why are we putting it on? Like, it's gotta be this fake giant ape-like creature that we think exists.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that we found everything that is real in the forest. Bigfoot, I don't know, man. I think I'm going to say that one's real, just like parents tell their kids Santa Claus real. It's just good fun, and it makes like, what are you going to be like, oh, it's actually just a wolf and I'm going to die. I'm like, oh, maybe it wants to meet me and shake my hand, and then you die. That's just a better way to go through life, even if, you know, it's lighthearted.
And that's an interesting trap that America has set up with our culture. It's like the cool kids just, you know, they're too cool for everything. And like, if you want to be cool, you have to be like apathetic and like, you know. And yeah, it just makes you boring when you get older. That makes you boring when you're just like, none of this is real, you know,
man. I to this day will look at times where I like would curtail my enthusiasm because it wasn't cool.
Yeah.
To like stuff. And you're like, oh, all I did was shut myself out from what was probably a lot of great times.
Yeah. Okay. Question number four. Do you believe in psychics?
No, not the ones that have a business. I will say I'm fat. This is what leads me to think that psychics know something, is that they always have good real estate. And I'm sorry to do a thing that I've always
Holy
done.
Shit.
I've mentioned it. I've tried to make it a bit, and it's never become a good stand-up bit, but it is because I'm fast. Like, anywhere you go, like, you'd be like, oh, this is the most popular strip of, like, upcoming businesses, and there's still a psychic. There's still that one old-ass building with the neon palm in the window.
Yeah.
And it's either that the psychics are real and they knew that property was going to be worthwhile, or, and I don't know, they're laundering money for the mob, and so nobody's rich.
Yeah.
One of the two is real. I like to think it's the first one, much like how
I've never thought about that, but you're so right. There's like a strip right over here where it's like a wine bar with like $15 glasses of wine and then a fucking roadside psychic right next door. And it's like, hang on.
They're in Times Square, man. They're still like, they still have, of all the places that got bought out, they haven't budged. And is it because they're connected to whoever's the realtors and the politicians and be like, nah, don't touch that.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. My wife and I have been working on a TV show about psychics in that realm. And it's like, it's all there. It's all fun.
There was one on that it didn't last a long time. It was a guy who's kind of like the money collector for psychics. And like, so he knew all their scams and he was just working for the mob, picking up all the cash. And
yeah, what was that? I saw that.
The show?
It was like right up my alley. The subject was right up my alley, but the show got swept away real quick.
The show was cheesy. It was fucking.
It was not a reality show. It was a narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was that guy that's like a guy that you like when he shows up and
not me. Hey, Shauna.
Yeah.
What was the name of the psychic show? With
the guy everybody likes. He's handsome.
The narrative show about the couple that were
handsome guys
taking
handsome
everybody guy for.
Tell her he's hot.
Handsome.
He's a hunk. There's a hunk in it.
Yeah.
Well, it's lost. It's lost
give me the
to
name
history
of that
forever.
I'll find a show for you.
I don't.
Like weirdly skinny, hot. Gross.
He looks like Walter Goggins.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Walton, he looks like hot, like better looking Walter Goggins. Anyway, this is great podcasting. It's us trying to guess who hot Walter Goggins is. Walton Goggins?
Yeah, Walton.
Where do you live, Wade? I'm trying to think of what psychic you're talking about.
Oh, I'm not even sure if it's still there, but you know where Umami Burger is on Hollywood Boulevard?
Oh yeah.
Then there's that wine bar right across the street, and I'm pretty sure there's a psychic like right next door.
Yeah, they're all just still tucked away, still just doing fine. So yeah. I don't believe that. I think if somebody had psychic powers, there's not a chance in hell they would be out capitalizing. I think it'd be like that Matt Damon movie where it's a living hell when people find out you actually have psychic powers and you'd never be left alone.
What is this? There's a Matt Damon movie about psychic powers?
Yeah, I couldn't remember the other one already, so don't leave me nervous. You go look it up for yourself.
But he was like a Matt Damon.
And he was a psychic and his life was hell because everybody's like, can you please help? It was just people constantly trying to talk to their loved ones. And he's just exhausted because it's people with the worst stories and he can't help all of them.
So hereafter.
If you were an actual psychic, your life would be hell. So I think if you were a psychic, you wouldn't tell anybody anyway.
Yeah.
You know what? You know why I don't recognize this movie is because it was directed by Clint Eastwood.
What? America's Grandpa?
That guy needs to listen. Just do that's a fucking 15-hour day. Do a 15-hour day, man. You don't have to leave after 8 hours.
That take was good enough. Let's move. We're wrapped.
It was good. I liked what you did. I thought that was a rehearsal. No, we're moving on.
Is this an inside showbiz joke? Does he keep union hours? What does he do?
He works for like 8 hours.
They work 8 to 10 hour days every day.
He's 107 years old.
Yeah, well, don't be a director then, man. Because
he's
the only director
that has short days, yeah.
Okay. We should probably take a break, but before we do, Willie, why don't you tell us what we're talking about, and then when we come back, we'll talk.
Did I answer all the questions, by the way? Is that 5?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot to give you one more. No, you did them all. You're like a 4. So you're basically a Willie at this point.
Yeah, but I have caveats for all those answers, though. I have very terrestrial reasoning for all of my answers.
Do you want to be a 3? We can make you a 3.
Well, we established that 3s are assholes.
Yeah, you want to be the boring.
4s are assholes, so I'm stuck.
No, 3s are genuine people. 4s are the assholes.
But what did I come out with, 4?
So we have 4. 3 or okay. 4.
All right, it's fine. I'll own up to it.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, extra, extra, scientists at Large Hadron Collider hope to make contact with parallel universe in days. This article is from 2015. Did it happen? Should we be making contact with parallel universes? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay. Well, real quick, Kyle, do you have any thoughts on that? And then we'll go to break.
I do not have the computation skills to understand parallel universes.
Okay. Well, we'll break that down for you. We'll teach you all about it, or Willie will, I assume.
Yep.
When we get back.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other 3 to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. We're talking to our good friend Kyle Kinane. You know him from the Boogeyman podcast, which is basically this podcast, only done better with a lot more listeners.
It's called The Boogie Monster, and it's not.
Oh, shit.
It's basically just about food at this point.
That was my real passive aggressive way to try to
no, get I got people it.
To look up the
no, I got it. No, I, that's why I corrected it.
We're talking about parallel dimensions. Some article from 2015 said that we were going to talk to a parallel dimension, and did we? Did we?
Well, I mean, really? I mean, ultimately, if you look at this article from 2015, it got shared again recently, over and over and over for the past 5 years. But like, if they ever did make contact with a parallel universe, do you think there'd be a follow up article?
Yeah, there is in that universe, yeah. Like, hey, we did it. How's it going, everybody?
Turns out, you know, they gave us so many secrets. Do you guys want them too?
They're like, this universe is way better. Fuck those guys. We're not going to tell them.
They're like, it's a fucking trash heap over there. We cut all ties with them lest they come over into our universe and fuck it up.
I mean, the way it's going, I could see them being like, we found a parallel universe. It's awesome. Let's just not tell anybody.
If in 2015 they made contact with a parallel universe and then found out about Trump and found out about the last 4 years? Whatever. Yeah. Just laughing.
Exactly. That's what we're saying. Like, we definitely connected with these people, and these people were like, oh my God, thank God we live in this one.
Yeah.
Well, that's a weird thing too, right? So I'll quickly go over the different parallel universes that could exist in science. And the crazy thing about theoretical physics right now supports the possibility, quantum mechanics, they support these possibilities to be realities. And you look at, like, from everything that I've seen, like looking at the universe and our experience being closer to a, what's the word I'm looking for? The false
simulation.
Yeah. Simulation. I'm like, well, if our experience is actually like a simulation, then I 100% believe in the quantum mechanic version that, so one version is.
Wait, can I tell you guys a secret real quick?
Yeah.
I've like fully invested in that this is a simulation, and furthermore, I've decided that it's a video game and I'm a character that someone is playing. And so when I pray, when things are real tough and I pray, I pray for my guy to like look up cheat codes to like make my life better.
That is the way that you should treat this existence, you know, because there's weird little science, like it looks like we're living in a simulation, like science is leaning that way, or an experience similar to that. There's all these studies that, like, when you pray for your food and your water, it actually, like, when you bless your water, it like has a positive effect on it. So
yeah,
you better fucking pray for your food.
Wait,
pray to the universe. Pray to the universe.
There's studies that say this.
Yeah, where they've like prayed, they've blessed water and send hateful words at some water, and then they crystallize it.
It's like Japan did.
Yeah,
that. Uh-huh. Japan was like swearing at their.
It's the beginning of Ghostbusters. You know,
Poland Springs.
The negative vibes goo under the city, like it's all real. And so in the quantum mechanics version of parallel universes, it's called the many worlds version, where every choice that you come across in your life, every option of every choice actually branches off to be a different universe.
So this is sliding doors.
Yeah, it's sliders, sliding doors. It's every...
What's Sliding Doors?
Sliding Doors is a great movie from 1998 starring Gwyneth Paltrow, where she's like late. And in one version of the story, she makes the train. And on one version of the story, she doesn't make the train. And then it follows these two like parallel.
So it's just choose your own adventure.
Yeah, yeah. So
you don't get to choose anything. It's not interactive.
It's watch every outcome. the many worlds version of quantum mechanics, like on paper for quantum mechanics, this is fucking legit. And if you talk to these scientists, it's hard to wrap your mind around, but it's just like, listen, if the universe is,
what if you chose not to belch right there?
I've been saying it for years.
What would happen if you chose to not do that?
Picture in your mind what evolution.
And then I didn't derail the whole conversation. From you making a very substantial point.
Yeah, what was the point?
If you take evolution, if you try to wrap your head and quantify what evolution is just surviving. And how. Why survive? Surviving is procreating and not dying. And why hasn't evolution gotten to the societal version where it's just like, hey, how does a species evolve slash survive that is social, that it has to deal with a lot of other people and things, you know, like,
well, one man's survival is another man's, I need $80 billion.
Well, you see, that's the crazy thing is that like one can, like, if you take societies in the universe, which a lot of people don't believe in, but just picture the idea that there's a lot of
Star Trek.
Can one person blow a society, kill the whole society? I mean, the answer is yes.
Well, okay. But on the opposite of that, you're like, does anybody need that much money? And did Elon Musk get his, without knowing, just reading, like he got his from like what, some racist emerald mining or something is what his family money's from. But he did throw it all at crazy electric cars in his own space program. So
Elon, but
one
Elon
person
is,
with a crazy idea that's a good idea with money without having to go through all this the approval from boards and approval from this could do some cool shit.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. I love it. He also like called somebody a pedophile because they didn't ask.
I'm not saying him. As an example of somebody who could be super rich and go like, you know what? I'm going to do some wild shit with this money and nobody's going to tell me no because it's my money. Now, we always like theorize about like the supervillains being like, well, now I could just control shit. But what if somebody's I just got money and I'm going to be a maniac for good. We don't have a great example of that, but it could happen.
Kirk Cameron's a big Christian, and he just got a bunch of people together to do some caroling despite the stay-at-home orders. You know, that's
Kirk
a good
Cameron
thing.
Has $8,000 left of growing pains.
Kirk Cameron is broker than I am.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron would ask what the fee is to be a guest on this show.
I love that he, that's my way to shoehorn in this thing where I would just watch this article, this interview of him, like talking about how great it is to like carol with people. It's like, cause they like, don't believe in the pandemic. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Kirk Cameron is basically like, the version of like, he's like the actor version of a super church. Like he just makes these Christian movies to like fucking cash in on all these people who will just pay because it's like a Christian movie.
But I also think he drinks his own Kool-Aid. I don't think he's so smart that he's like, you know, getting everything he can out of it. I think he's just
You know, the other side of the coin is fucking, who played Joker, that fucking guy from My So-Called Life, Jared Leto,
yeah,
where he's like started a cult because the pandemic happened. He was like doing a weird retreat where people would pay to hang out with him, and then the pandemic happened, so they all kind of got stuck there, and he just kind of turned it into a weird cult.
Oh,
but my theory is that like there's cults happening everywhere, and as long as they're not trying to like fuck your wife, they're probably fine. Like they're just indie label religions.
If they're bad, they'll be a lesson for everyone else. You know, like keep believing whatever you want.
Well, but I hate because I've done jokes about all this stuff, so I hate being like, oh, by the way, I do this as a bit. But it's because like, oh, here's thoughts I've had that I've tried to transition into comedy. But it's like, why? Like, how many cults have just never gone into the sex part and are just fine? Like, we all live in this abandoned mansion. We all split the rent. Everybody gets to be in the band. We're growing our own vegetables.
Dude,
yeah, I mean, that's it. Like,
and then the sex thing is like, hey, man, be respectful, be consensual, and then we'll leave that alone. And then great. Then that's nice.
And we'll then survive.
Nobody's doing a documentary on that cult because it's fine. it's utopian. And let them be.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, I'm fine New Zealand. With cults.
It's called New Zealand, I think. New Zealand's a cult that came to fruition.
Or the state of Utah.
Well, it might end up still bad for Utah eventually. So that was the many worlds version of parallel universes. One of them is the multiverse, which is Basically, that there are a bunch of, like, if you took our whole universe and made it like a bubble, like you were blowing bubbles, and then every other, when you blow a bunch of bubbles, all the other bubbles are their own separate universes, and they may have their own physics, they may have their own everything, but a whole universe that like never interacts with this other universe. Just saying, like, that's one version where it's just like, hey, they're actually like infinite universes all next to each other that don't interact. Well, they might. One idea is that the Big Bang was two bubbles, two brains, they call them, like hitting each other. But anyways, whatever, despite all that, that's one other version of parallel universes. And then the other one that they talk about. Oh, yeah, go
on. Do you think that there's a version where your dick is your nose and then you have to like face fuck?
You can have that now. I mean, they have the equipment for that. Like, it's not a parallel unit. It's parallel lifestyles, yeah, but it's not. You can just have to go to like Lover's Lane or something, some adult store next to a truck stop, and you can get the accoutrement that you need. But I have a question. If, like, okay, parallel universes existing somewhere else. All right, the concept of time. We accept it. Okay, time's a man-made concept, but we've allotted it to. How often we go around the sun and we twirl and rotate around the sun and all that. Will the concept of time change? This is, I don't know why I'm thinking of this. It's well, because I'm drinking and you have some insight to this, and Wade will be a smartass about it. But like when we go to Mars, how long is a day on Mars?
Well, it's interesting because, The next parallel universes that we get into could affect time. But basically, if you look at the fabric...
We've evolved to a 24-hour day. Like, yeah. Our existence is based around the idea that you sleep at night or you sleep... This percentage of this percentage of your existence. Now, when those time frames change... Light and dark, how long is a year, all that.
Well, that's an interesting question. Like, do you think that if, well, but we know that like light and dark shift throughout the planet, right? Because like if you go to like Scandinavia or whatever,
yeah,
they have periods where it's just dark for like, you know, days at a time or, I don't know.
What if you raise a kid on a submarine?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I think that all life on Earth has evolved to the time on Earth.
And so yeah, but no.
We change planets.
What if you raise a kid on a submarine? Like how often does he sleep?
What if your sex orgy? What if your sex cult is also Atlantis, and you have a clan of inbred mer children that only sleep
if it's a military based submarine, then they'll have the same hours. If it's not military based, if it's just that we'll just have the cat version of people where it's like you just sleep enough to get.
But do you think that we get tired because we've been programmed because of what we consider a day? Or do you think that that's just a natural thing that we get tired when we get tired?
Right. I think right now in quarantine is going to be an amazing test of people that like, oh, I just slept when I was tired and ate when I was hungry. And maybe they'll find out they were amazingly productive because I'll do long drives and I'm good like 20 minutes of sleep, 4 hours of driving, 20 minutes of sleep, 4 hours of driving. Now I'm not performing some sort of high function.
I'm the same way, dude. You got it nailed, dude. That's right.
But these people that talk about like you only need to sleep intermittently, I'm like, maybe there's something to that. Well, now this even goes into more of like an anti-capitalist statement of like this idea that you're supposed to work 40 hours a week or whatever.
Yeah, which is total bullshit.
Now back over to Clint Eastwood really being a man of the people with his 8-hour work days on a film set when these other fuckers are going 15.
Here's the new hippie version. You get more rest from meditation than you do sleep. Do we even need sleep? If you could meditate,
I always fall asleep whenever I try to meditate. So yes, we do.
Me too. But from what I was taught from my teachings was, if you fall asleep when you're meditating, it's because that's actually you actually do need sleep because you're not getting enough. But
so your question was, you need sleep.
But
you just answered, yes, you do.
I think you do. There, you know,
you just answered your own question.
No, I know.
Do you really need sleep? Because if you're meditating and you fall asleep, it's because you needed some sleep.
But I guess I'm saying, if you could meditate more.
But I've also heard that if you fall asleep while you're meditating, then you're not meditating correctly.
Well, if you get your brain rhythm into that wavelength, that sleep is more restful than regular sleep.
Well,
it's all about
Thomas Edison, right? Like Thomas Edison had this super weird fucking sleep schedule. He would sleep for 2 hours and then he'd be awake for like 8 and then he would sleep for 2 or something crazy like that. Have you guys heard that?
Sadly, everything I'm in, all my knowledge comes from seeing somebody do jokes about it. So I remember a friend.
I hate Thomas Edison, so I was Jeff
Klinger made a joke. Jeff Klinger made a great joke about it. He's like, yeah, Thomas Edison, he didn't sleep. He also did a lot of cocaine, which is probably why he invented the light bulb. He's like, I'm still up.
He didn't invent the light bulb when he ripped off everybody's ideas. And he's
that's what happens when you get history from comedy. Not necessarily factually correct.
Hey, well, no, you also shouldn't get it from conspiracy theory websites. I think objectively Thomas Edison was a genius, right? I mean,
well, he was a smart money guy. Like he didn't invent the light bulb, but he bought the invention of the light bulb.
The people that like Trump for being a shrewd businessman, he was a scumbag, and that's why he was successful. And success is important, not your moral character.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is Thomas Edison is like, he was into this thing where he would only sleep. I'm looking at this article right now. He thought that sleep was a heritage from our cave days. And he would sleep 4 hours a night. So
but think about, we're all programmed to, well, not all, but most of us are programmed to work during the day and work this set amount of time. Or, you know, however long this work week is supposed to be. So are we really, I'm going to sneeze and lose my train of thought.
Well, we actually get vitamins from the sun. So it's like, you know, we get nutrition.
That's true. So that makes sense.
And so if you don't see the sun. You should
be in a building full of fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about like the 40-hour work week is total bullshit. Like there was a I can't remember what I was watching, but it used to be a 6-day work week and someone at some point was like, fuck, this is bullshit. Like let's just make it a 5-day work week. And productivity went up, everything was better, they were more rested, everyone was happy. And at that time, they were like, oh, by the time it's like the 80s, we'll be on like a 4-day work week and it'll do the same thing. Like people will be more productive. Anyone with a regular job knows that like there's no reason for you to be there that much time. Like you're not working that much.
My realization about the how long you're at work, how long you commute to get to work, the decompression after you get home from work and sleep, and just mathematically, I'm like, this is not, these are bad odds for a good life. These are just shit odds.
Yeah.
Long before I was doing anything, I was at a temp job in the suburbs of Chicago. I'm like, that's 2/3 of your life just right there. If you get 8 hours of sleep and 8 hours of work.
Yeah.
That's 2/3.
Most of my life has been labor jobs. And I've been like, man, I'm so happy to not be a labor guy right now.
I liked labor jobs though, because I felt like my mind was free.
Yeah, more silly.
I wrote so much comedy when I was doing physical labor.
Have you heard of those people that are like exposing their raw butthole to the sun? You heard of people butt chugging sunlight? I don't know what it's called.
I think I saw something like that, and I wonder if it's is that just like a created by Instagram.
Probably it's like a hippy dippy craze, you know, and it's just like it's weird because it's like, well, if sunlight being exposed to your open butthole is doing anything for you, you could also just open your mouth at the sun. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah,
it's
the same. Your butthole should be more present.
It's like, it doesn't have to be
in a more
butt.
Present location on your body, if that's how evolution's supposed like, to work.
Yeah,
there's a reason it's tucked up in there.
Like, even cavemen weren't going like spread eagle showing their butthole to the sun. You know,
these are the same membranes, right?
Yeah, like, we've shut ourselves out. Remember our cynicism, talking about people that are cynical and missing out on a good time. Maybe we should all be out there just trying.
Yeah,
I think it's the fact is that you work hard, and because of the job that you want, you have to move to a city and you don't have privacy. You don't have the chance to show your butthole to this. This is all a result of capitalism. All these things are a result of capitalism, that we have to live in big cities and sacrifice the privacy to show our raw anuses, ain't I? Is that the anuses?
Ain't I? I love it. So the last version of parallel universes is is actually just so like in the realm of quantum mechanics, also that they the M theory, the popular version of the universe right now is that there's actually 10, maybe 11 spatial dimensions around us, up, down, left, right, and seven more. Right. So like within that realm, there could be other within these extra dimensions of space that we don't perceive, there could be universes in them that we don't perceive just right next to us. So that's the third one. That's the hardest one to wrap your head around, but that because we can't perceive the fourth dimension. There's plenty of videos online.
So let me ask you about this, because we've all seen maybe we all have, I know we've talked about it before. There's a Carl Sagan video where he's explaining like how a two-dimensional creature would not be able to see a third dimension, right?
Yeah.
And he like places like an apple on a plane, and so all these 2D people like only see like the very bottom of the apple, you know, like they don't see
the cross section of that dimension. Yeah.
So, but my question is, there's no 2D creatures, right? Like everybody on Earth is a three-dimensional organism.
The thing is that there probably are things that exist in a two-dimensional plane that I don't have a good example right now, but just picture like a mosquito larva stuck on the surface of water, where it's like it's a three-dimensional entity on a two-dimensional plane. I know that that's different, but there probably is some microscopic thing that doesn't exist in three dimensions.
But even if it's microscopic, means it's three-dimensional.
Yeah,
what's AI? What would you consider artificial intelligence?
Well, see,
what dimension
isn't that,
does that operate in?
Isn't that weird? Is that, because
consciousness, what dimension is that? You know.
Like picture your brain surviving. Your brain is three-dimensional and it doesn't experience anything outside of your brain. It can't see, it can't hear, but it has all of this input like a computer. It has all these signals, electrical signals being sent to it. And that's how it experiences the universe. And it's like, I know a computer is different because it doesn't have a physical realm, basically. But
what's a code? What's a program that tells a machine to do this when this happens?
Yeah, electrical signals.
But is what dimension is electricity?
that's an awesome question, because sure, it exists in probably in all dimensions, but you can't quantify it into one. So
it's
like
an energy. It's about to go back to like how I answered the ghost question. Maybe, yeah, when you die, that energy goes into a dimension that we can't experience, that like ghosts are like this weird breach of a dimension. You know, like I have a hard time.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's a theory that people have, that it's like some people do think that ghosts are dimensions crossing over. And we're seeing, like, you know, we're seeing people from a different dimension, just like going about their day or whatever. And then we ascribe it to being ghosts.
But what is it like? I mathematically, I am just, I cannot get my head around multiverse or like it being a simulation like this, like we're in a simulation. So my decision-making process is part of somebody else's simulation.
Well, here's the thing.
We make no independent choices of ourselves.
That thing is just like definitions, like blurring the lines. Because when they say our existence is closer to a simulation, that doesn't suppose that somebody's in charge of it, but just that when you take a computer, I mean, like, I'm glad you brought up computer, because that an AI, that's the whole thing, is that like the motherboard, the brain, all of the information in a computer isn't an entity. And so like all of your experiences that you have that throughout your entire life are being recorded and remembered by you. But like, does that go anywhere else after you? Does somebody else see that? Does somebody else forget about somebody else? But like your entire existence is a bunch of electrical signals that you are interpreting, and you have quantified yourself as a being, not on purpose, but like you experience everything from your point of view. And then when you die, your point of view is gone. Maybe, but like I believe we exist currently on different planes of existence that we can't perceive. So like, that's a part of consciousness that doesn't exist in my brain, but like I can reach out to.
Yeah, I mean, I've got enough booze in me to start saying some real dumb shit. But if we think that, like, everything we do now is on a server farm, there's still a physical component to every Instagram or Facebook post. It's still stored somewhere. The cloud, whatever. That's a server farm. That's still a block of computers. That's basically right now, that's society's memory.
Yeah.
That's society's consciousness. Is a server farm. That's the brain of humanity somewhere, is the old NORAD.
Yeah,
space in the side of the mountain in Colorado. So, if we advance, human beings advance to the point where the universal field theory that everything's related is now just a fact that we as a planet have one brain, and it's these server farms. These are like, this is what everybody's fed into. Fucking. Inadvertently, Mark Zuckerberg has been the conduit to create humanity's consciousness to the alien species. We're like, what's Earth about? They just go to the server farm, plug in they're still on floppy disk. They get one floppy disk. It's a big one though. They get one big floppy disk out of Earth and be like, well, I got Earth's thoughts on things.
Well, see, my parallel to everything you're saying is, and this is just an idea that like I have nothing to support it, is that like a black hole is a parallel to that server disk, where it's like it takes everything that existed within what is collected, and that then becomes the black hole is the server. And so like everything is created in that around it. It has a life, it gets recorded. And so like, you know, also like a heartbeat, it breathes in and out, and every breath is a whole existence of a universe that like is recorded. But that's,
I still don't know what a black hole is.
Well, and I don't either.
I don't think anybody does, right? I mean, isn't that the whole thing about black holes, is nobody knows what the fuck they are?
There's plenty of...
You should stop throwing it out there so willy-nilly.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that bad black hole. What's this thing? Bad black hole.
Well, like, just saying that, like no matter... Even if a bunch of scientists agree what a black hole is, you'll never understand what they're agreeing on unless you take... paid attention to everything they paid attention to. which is like, it's not going to happen.
What do you guys hope for to be the outcome of existence?
Like, how do you mean? Like humanity? Like
after you die, what do you think it's going to be? What do you wish it would be?
Well, I think that it's nothing. I think you die and that's it. It's just, you know, when you've had too much to drink and you go to sleep and then you wake up and it's the next day and you just didn't exist for
like 8 hours before you were born. You have no memory.
Right. Exactly. What I would hope for it to be is, I've always thought it would be fun if everybody gets to be God. And so you just get like a planet and then you get to be a god and then you can just like, it's like Sim City kind of. I think that would be fun. It'd be lonely though. So maybe not. I don't know. But maybe I want the solace of just being a god.
I like wrapping my head around the idea that the existence of our universe is the training of a god. But like that's too hopeful. I feel like all of the emotions that we have, because everything that we learn as humans is tied to an emotion. So I'm like, no matter what, I'm going to be really depressed about what the reality is because I have to attach an emotion to what I learn. And it's the nature of our brain. But like, I feel like the universe is magically creative, and this expression of creativity is so beautiful and intelligent that is what the universe is. It's beautiful, creative intelligence, but I'm like, it's also dumber than we think it is. And then like,
this is so abstract. I don't even know what you're talking about. What do you think happens when you die?
I think that the energy of my life, you know, is the same energy that is the creative force that's like splitting at, or, you know, making, creating, what's it called when atoms split, not atoms, when fucking cells split to create, you know,
mitosis,
and basically like this expression of creation is just something that is too big
I think it's like the Bruce Willis movie Look Who's Talking, and whatever you enter, you have a voice and a curiosity in English. It's in English. It's
always in English.
No matter where you are in the world. If you're some sort of weird heat-based mushroom on Saturn, you also have Bruce Willis's voice and you're like, whoa, what's going on, man? And then you get used to it, you have a good time, and they you just have an internal dialogue wherever you exist, whatever you might be. Stray cat, human person,
nebula. Speaking of 80s comedies about babies, I tried to rewatch Three Men and a Baby the other night, and it's so weird because they get a baby, and then they also at the same time get a heroin shipment. And then when the heroin guys come to pick up the shipment, they didn't know that they had the heroin shipment, so they give them the baby. And then the heroin guys are just like, okay, cool. And they take the baby.
The original title was Three Men or a Baby. I was like, should we call Three Men or this baby? And it was real dark. The or made it very dark.
Listen, you've got some great stars in that, but it's so Gutenberg heavy. You either love him or you hate the movie.
Well, Cheers. What's Cheers' name? He's not even in it for
Ted
like
Ted Danson.
Yeah. You had Ted Danson. I had a very Steve Martin heavy dream last night. That's what. Okay. I had a weird day. Who else was in? It was Steve. Is Steve? Is Goots?
It's Magnum PI. It's Cheers. Tom and Selleck. It's Police Academy.
Yeah.
Wish they were all playing the same roles.
Well, it's weird because Magnum PI and Police Academy are in it for the whole thing, and then Cheers just kind of shows up, and it's his baby and everything.
He's still making Cheers. But again, at night, at least one of those three dudes lays awake thinking about the same questions we've just posited.
Whoo!
Which one do you think it is? I think
it's got to be it's Goots.
It's Goots.
It has to be.
But Ted Danson was in that.
He didn't have work. He doesn't have work.
Ted Danson was in that movie with who's the guy ascending the moon? Alice, what's his name?
Jackie Gleason.
Where Jackie Gleason was his dad who was dying.
Send him, you know that quote. Send him to the moon, Alice.
Flintstones. Who was the Flintstones
guy? I think wasn't he a mailman in that? And he was.
But you know,
Honeymooners, where he was a galactic mailman.
He had a he had a movie that was like contemplating death, and so like.
Well, they all did. They all tried to win an Oscar.
Somebody saw Jackie Gleason throwing away a bunch of mail, and they were like, "Oh, this motherfucker stole that mail." And then someone else was like, "Well, he could be the mailman."
Gleason, goddammit, get out of my trash.
Magnum PI still works to this day. He's on everything. Fucking Cheers. He's in every sitcom now.
Yeah.
But Magnum.
Gutenberg is out there going, what the fuck? I was the guy. What the fuck?
Magnum was a guy who, like Gutenberg was funny. Tom Selleck was just hot. And Ted Danson was like cocky, sporty.
And hot.
He was hot, but you know, Tom Selleck wasn't cocky. He was just like, hey, look at me.
He was like the waspy. He was like the waspy Ted Danson.
Tom Selleck will fix your garage. Ted Danson will make you a nice meal. Gutenberg's just going to like not bring enough. He's going to bring less beer than he drinks.
Oh, no. Am I a Gutenberg?
I'm well aware I'm a Gutenberg. I'm well aware that I'm
a Gutenberg. Yeah, I guess I'm a Gutenberg too, Willie.
We're all a bunch of Gutenbergs in a 10 dancing world, man.
Well,
two and a half men and a baby.
I was always so desperate for the party that I would bring triple what I need because I know that when the beer runs out, the party's over. So I'm like, yeah, I'll drink all night, but like I don't want anybody to leave, so I'll just bring extra beer.
I brought 40 Willie's, ounces because I knew that if nobody's going to take the 40 because they'll know it belongs to somebody, and then I'm like, I'm going to drink 80 ounces of beer tonight.
I brought a 12-pack, and I hid it in a corner.
We're all Gutenbergs. We're all different. Not Willie. Willie, you're a Selleck.
Willie's definitely a Selleck because he can fix your garage for sure.
And he's going to bring enough beer for everybody. We're Gutenberg's way. We're pieces.
Yeah. It's a good thing we know a Selleck.
I wish I knew more of the sound effects guy.
Oh, could you hear that? This mic picks up.
I meant the guy from Police Academy.
Oh, Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow. Like, oh, the cops are here, and you make a siren noise, and all the beer's yours.
Wheel, wheel, wheel. Oh, shit, everyone scatter.
I didn't have to bring any beer, you just make a siren noise, and then you just ride there.
We did that. We did that bit on Acceptable TV, a very short-lived VH1 show. Drew Hancock played the Michael Winslow character, just doing very bad sound effects that everybody believed. It's a good bit.
And to book a fake music festival for a podcast, and my headlining act was David Lee Roth backed by Michael Winslow.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like zippity bop and Michael Winslow like boop.
That's great.
All right. Let's get into our final thoughts about parallel dimensions.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, on the bonus, maybe I got a couple questions to ask, but I'm like,
yeah, we can talk more about it on the bonus. But for now, I feel like we've cracked parallel dimensions. We've explained them fully. We know everything that we need to know about parallel dimensions.
Yeah, no more news. We figured it out, everybody.
I, in the realm of, let's say sliders exist, and we can go in between different universes and stuff. I mean, with all of this stuff, because what I also didn't bring up was like the guy who invented quantum computers, which is a new blow your mind thing. All these things that are happening, like you can't even think about. He talked about like parallel universes and extracting information from parallel universes using quantum computers. And I'm just like, man, science is going science fiction, and the responsibility we have,
science is making it up now.
Yeah. Like it's weird because there's no questioning if anybody should do anything, because it's just like, if you're in charge of some science, like you're just doing it. And well, whether you're a government, like all these different governments, they're not, you know, let's say China, and I don't want to bring them up because like everybody's villainized them so much.
China's making cloned humans. It has been for years.
Let's say France cracks the parallel universe. They're not going to come out and tell the world that they've like crossed over or anything. Like governments owe nothing to humanity. And so that's the problem with the world, is that like our technology and our science is getting so good that, you know, fucking France is going to open up a toilet that like drains our universe into another one. I'm just saying, like, there's no responsibility.
And they're going to be laughing. Question. They're going to be laughing the whole time. Those fucking Franks, man.
So many cigarettes.
When CERN, when this whole article came out, because CERN talked about the only way to maybe detect parallel universes is to create mini black holes. And people started freaking out. But like, also people didn't know what the fuck a black hole was, and nobody knew anything. And it's just like, well, nobody knows shit. And like, if you need to create mini black hole to find a parallel universe, maybe that people were afraid that mini black hole was going to ruin our universe, but we also didn't stop anybody. Like,
I mean,
fucking A.
First off, you know how you look on Reddit or whatever, and you'll see like the title of an article where you're like, I barely understand the title. I'm not going to read the article, but something like who China has a supercomputer now that has done some sort of quantum equation in seconds that would normally take decades on the previously known technology. Something where I was like, oh, this is a wild advancement in technology that I'm not going to comprehend, but it's happening.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that they've created cloned humans.
Yeah.
And there's been like hooved children for decades at this point. There's a herd of hooved human beings in a corral.
Yeah, they really need to stop using horse DNA to clone these children.
They were normal human clones, and they let them eat Jell-O, because how do you appease a weird clone child? You give them Jell-O, and then the horse hoof DNA mutated with their developing bodies. That's just science, Wade.
The clone tummy does not digest properly. Yeah, it merges.
Yeah, beautiful hair and hooves, but wild, wicked temperament. But I believe that, yeah, absolutely, humans have been cloned. As soon as somebody's like, oh, we cloned a sheep, they cloned humans first.
Oh man.
We did to a sheep
50 years earlier, and we're just finding Russia's papers.
Sorry, did I say China? Russia, China, yeah. Whatever, whichever fucking one. Put whichever country name you want into as to who's doing horrible things. Throw the USA in there. I just feel like we have too many people with Sprinter vans. You know, we have too many van YouTubers out there adventuring into unexplored areas that there's no place to have a secret in this country anymore.
Tom Green is doing that.
Yeah, we have too many YouTubers that we don't get to have an Area 51 anymore. We have Google Maps with no Australian areas and Twitch streamers. There's no secrets in America anymore.
Before we end the episode, you asked the question, and I wanted to get your answer. What do you think is the end of life Like, what's the afterlife? And what do you hope it to be?
What I think it is, I think it's just like before we were born. I think the recipe gets made out of ingredients, and then the recipe gets consumed and disappears. For a brief while, we're a little tasty meal.
My hopeful...
We're all these things that came together the way they should to be a human life. And then we get eaten up by life and we dissipate into the minerals and nutrients we need to create other things that make those lives elsewhere. So that's
like a koala bear.
I don't know why a koala bear, but
because it's cute. I would rather my energy go toward a koala bear than like a kangaroo. I hate those guys.
Well, that's the answer to my own question. But like, what happens to your energy? It's like, you still feed. You still decompose.
But my hopeful response to you...
You still turn into nutrients for bugs and critters.
My hopeful response to you is if we do have any perception of existence before we take on this physical human experience, we definitely lose it to have this experience. We may gain it afterwards, but that also might have an end too, which is bothersome. But it's like, you know, like I, you know... A caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Does that butterfly remember being a caterpillar? I mean, I have no idea, but maybe not. But like, let's say
doesn't remember yesterday, so I would doubt that a butterfly remembers being a caterpillar.
Let's make it like, okay, let's put it real cheesy. The whole world is filled with different musicians. The human form is the band. The musicians got together to make the band. We're the band. Eventually the band breaks up and the musicians go elsewhere to form other bands. And that happens in perpetuity. Oh, it's corny, but it's the idea that like, oh, this formation of different elements creates this thing that has a trajectory, then breaks up. And those elements go to form something that creates another trajectory. And these elements go to form something else and just, further and further, we've all been born of one sort of mother that breaks apart and reconvenes.
That's 100% true, unless you're Aerosmith.
Aerosmith, goddamn, that is a long-running, exhaustive...
Jesus Christ, give it a rest, Aerosmith.
Joe Perry still...
I don't think... I laugh. Well, whatever. I haven't liked Aerosmith since Pump. And I didn't like that. I knew then I shouldn't have liked him.
Pump was the album where I was like, oh man, Aerosmith, isn't that like that cool band that's kind of like Led Zeppelin and they got a new one? And it's just like Love in an Elevator. I'm like, what is it? What does it even right. mean?
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for being here. Much like Love in an Elevator is the
life communes in brief moments of turbulence. Only to the doors open and the parties break apart.
Doors have opened. This party needs to break apart. We're going to continue the conversation on our bonus episode. I think.
Are you ending this because of how great this conversation is, and you know that they're going to spend money on the Patreon bonus episode, or is what I said so bad?
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm trying to leave it on a cliffhanger where they will be like, "I cannot wait to see what metaphor Kanane uses next."
Pump. About fucking.
Thanks so much for being here. Do you want to plug anything? You've got a show in August, I hear.
I want to plug that the album Pump is actually about sex. It's a truck on top of another truck.
It's better than the cow one. Remember the cow one?
What was that one called? Teats.
It had nothing to do with the cow. It just had a cow on the cover.
Yeah, I remember. Forget. I just remember how embarrassed I was to watch Love in an Elevator, the music video, with my mom. I'm like, how am I embarrassed to watch this stupid music video?
You know, those days you sit down and watch Headbangers Ball with your mom. Mom, it's almost midnight on Saturday. Get home quick, Headbanger. Ricky Rackman's about to give us our shared time.
All right. Thanks again, Kyle. Thanks everyone for listening. Remember, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. And
you couldn't sell that less.
Listen, if I feel like if you would have done it, you would have done it already.
I know it's weird. Like, hey, you can pay. You can pay to listen to us more.
I can't ask anybody for anything from our podcast.
Remember, just because you're paranoid does not mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening.